Okay, guys, so this is Porrick from the Humble Coach podcast. I'm joined today for the second kind of official guest episode by Tom Morrison. And Tom would be a coach in CrossFit for Angion in Lisburn in Northern Ireland, and is also a contributor to T-Nation, to Box Rocks. He's getting pretty internet famous these days, or he's always been kind of internet famous. Now he's getting actual famous. but his website, tommorrison.co.uk, and he also runs movement and mobility seminars. And thanks very much for joining me this morning, Tom.
Thanks very much for having me on. It was great.
So like we looked at the last kind of podcast, guys, the emphasis here is, I suppose, on coaching and the different kind of areas of coaching. So it doesn't always have to necessarily be just about the nitty-gritty, but we can do the nitty-gritty quite a bit, and we'll probably have a little bit of a chat about that today, Tom. But first off, I suppose we'll maybe just kind of check out on your background and what you would have done previously and how you would have got into coaching and into CrossFit and stuff like that. If you can give it a quick spin on.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, sounds cool. I started off with martial arts, actually, was my first thing. Mm-hmm. The big thing for me, I didn't do anything for the first 24 years of my life. I had never even heard of a bodyweight squat, so I pretty much missed all athletic potential. So I jumped straight into martial arts, so it was like an overnight switch for me. I went from drinking pretty much every day and smoking to going six times a week, training probably 3 to 4 hours a day. So yeah, it was all MMA, wrestling, sort of stuff like that there. So it was really what I started with. And after a few years, the coach there actually asked me to become an assistant instructor. I was also training with Tomek, the owner of CrossFit for Angion as well. So private sessions. So I was doing every class I could, and every private session I could as well. So I never actually had any aspirations to become a coach. It was just something that sort of happened. I was just asked. Tomek asked me one time if I wanted to shadow him for a while and then go and do my CrossFit level one. So that's really how it came about. So I just started shadowing different coaches and, you know, seeing what way they would teach and stuff like that, and then going from there. So,
have you been with Tomek in CrossFit Angion for, is it 3-4 years? This is 3-4 years?
3 years last March, I think it was there, yeah. But he's been training out of there for a long time. So we started like grassroots. He was basically PT. Mm-hmm. And then, it started and we had low ceilings, and the place we had was really, really small. And, I remember us standing beside one rower. We got one rower and we thought we'd made it, you know.
Yeah.
Or the dog's balls, basically. Yeah, we've just been growing gradually from there, so now we're fully equipped and have full rig and everything that we need, so that's really awesome.
Nice. So I suppose like that, it's a typical enough kind of route into CrossFit to an extent like that, coming from a different background. Have you noticed much of a... have you brought much of your MMA type style mentality or even training kind of ethos or interest into your current kind of practice?
Yeah, totally. The workouts are so, you know, challenging to start. You know, when you're sparring with someone and stuff like that, you know, it is great conditioning and stuff, but the main thing we were lacking in was the technique of the lifts and stuff like that as well. And plus, I had zero mobility, so that's the thing with me. Like, a lot of people would say, would teach mobility, would say, you know, I've been into movement their entire life and stuff like that, where I haven't, you know, I didn't have a clue about anything. So I had no shoulder mobility, no squat, no nothing. And I got started getting into CrossFit. This is before I started coaching. And, I couldn't do half of the movements. I was so stiff and so rigid, and nothing seemed to work for me personally, flexibility wise. So that's what really set me off on the journey of trying to find actual methods that work for people like myself, because like I was able to help other people. So it went on for a long while. Like, I started helping other people. I was showing them things, and they seemed to be getting results straight away. And I was still standing there going, why is this not working for me? you know. So it was very frustrating, but I've learned a lot from it. So,
cool. So I suppose, yeah, like that, you're just looking at your interest, I suppose you're nearly a kind of specialist interest in mobility and movement and quality. Would that be your current kind of favorite part of coaching, or is it just the big progress that people would make, or is it the pain in the ass regular kind of classes and stuff like that that you find?
For me, I take a mobility approach to it, with CrossFit, because you know it is so demanding. You know, flexibility wise, if you're lacking in any area, you know, like the overhead squat will pick it up straight away. And so for me, people coming wanting to do the CrossFit class and seeing other people doing these movements, and they were like, well, why can I not do that? You know, that would really, you know, I really related to that personally, because I was like, I was like that for a long time. Like I couldn't overhead squat, I couldn't full snatch, couldn't do anything. So that's why I really, like, I would have no qualms about taking someone out of the class and say, here, look, spend an hour, do these stretches, and then come back to this and try this at the end. Sort that out first, because the biggest thing that I hate is seeing someone coming back to me in 3 months' time and saying, my shoulders really hurt. You know, it's just counterproductive, and it, you know, it makes people lose their motivation and stuff like that. So that's always my big standpoint. And if somebody, I have had people disagree with me and even leave over it, but I would rather see someone leave and go and do spin classes than get hurt doing CrossFit, if you know what I mean. So that was the big thing for me. So, like, I absolutely love CrossFit for what it is, but it is something that you have to put the prerequisite work into being able to do. And that's the rewarding thing for me as a coach, is seeing someone that has struggled with something for years. And then, you know, literally I've had people 15 minutes and just broke it down, explained how their body works itself. And then they're doing the thing, and that seeing that look on their face of going, I can do this now, that's the most rewarding thing for me as a coach. So that'll really be my niche market, you know.
Cool.
Anaerobic fitness and nutrition, not so much.
So I suppose, like that, we kind of dig in a little bit to the, there's a few of these kind of questions that are, we looked at it, that would be fairly linked together. So I suppose the one of the main ones, like that, even just in relation to how that might be a different approach to other coaches, like a lot of other coaches, I know I'm guilty of it sometimes myself, is of allowing certain people to continue on a certain movement, even though you may be kind of nervous about their quality of the movement, and the temptation then is to scale the weight back aggressively, or at least to try and make sure that everybody else can get taken care of while the one person gets their ass kicked a little bit. I think it's a challenge as coaches to try and balance that, I think, though.
It's not so much. It's, again, like you can say, it's down to the coach as well, but a lot of responsibility does fall down to the members too. You know, if a coach gives their expert advice and says that they need to do something about something, and they're not going to put that time into it, you know, yes, you could blame the coach, but it is also down to the member as well to look after their own health. And if a coach tells someone that they shouldn't do something because of X, Y, and Z, then they should listen, because that's what they pay for at the end of the day. What was I talking about? If you see exactly in a class, you know, say you've 14, 16 people in a class, you can't, you know, put all your effort into just two people that have those mobility problems. I would generally scale the movement completely away. So if someone cannot, you know, if someone's limiting shoulder flexion and can't lock out a barbell above their head, then yeah, you could substitute that with a completely different exercise. Go to the kettlebell route as well. Use kettlebells instead, because it has a bit more wiggle room, sort of things like that. So, but yeah, you can't.
I'd agree with that. I think that's one of the big ways that we would do it down here in Galway. The movements, it doesn't get, like, the movement pattern will take precedence over the actual movement. And the tools are very relevant. And even having a look at some of your recent videos and different things, some really nice, interesting ideas on ways to, not even necessarily scale, but definitely to scale up or scale down or scale sideways. Certain kettlebell movements, certain kind of flow movements. That's really interesting stuff to apply to certain people.
Yeah.
I think it's
But I would always give someone homework. You'd always be given homework. You know, you say, you can't do this. This is the reason. These stretches or mobility exercises, they're going to help you get that. You need to do those in your own time. So say if you have open gym time or like a lot of the stuff I teach is all bodyweight based anyway. So there's no reason you can't do it at home. And like if you as a coach give that to someone and they don't do that, that's their choice. And that, unfortunately, that's we cannot hold people's hands, which is a frustrating thing. But the warm-ups, the most important thing we have is our warm-ups for the classes. If them 10, 15 minutes of the warm-up can be based on generalized mobility, it'll help everyone. Like, that's a key to it.
No, I agree. I think it's, I do that sometimes myself, that some of the warm-ups can be, I suppose, like, they can nearly look to some of the members or some new people as quite boring and kind of consistent. They look the same, and I'm like, and they're like, I don't like this exercise. And I'm like, that's because you're not very good at it.
Yeah, exactly.
Putting you in the awkward positions because we know this is a massive issue.
I've only done three things and I'm sweating. I don't like it.
Yeah, we throw someone down a bench crawl and then someone doing an overhead squat with a stick and we're like just owning people.
We've started going for weekly warm-ups. So we keep the same warm-up for the whole week. We change it every week, but we keep the same thing to try and see the progress with it, and it seems to be working quite well, so I think it's definitely something we're going to stick with.
That's an interesting one, all right. I think something like that, I know a lot of places that would do, they'd have the same like general CrossFit warm-ups or the same kind of warm-up. We would have, I suppose, with our variety of coaches in our place, we would have different nuances to it, and I suppose we try and apply it, obviously, to the particular workouts or the segments that we'd have, but like that, it can be challenging enough.
Partner warm-ups are brilliant. Like I was talking about reactive core stability. Mm-hmm. If you have a partner, like everybody's different, so you're never going to do the same drills twice with someone else. You know, it's going to be completely different.
Yeah.
And it makes you think as well. Like just getting two people to sit down and do a squat and holding one of the sticks between each other and trying to push each other over while they're in the squat. Like that's, you know, to me, that's a brilliant mobility exercise. Yeah. And, you know, it's an icebreaker. You have fun, people talk, have a laugh. It's great
completely,
to do.
Completely. I like it exactly in relation to that. Even yesterday, I was doing, was it yesterday or the day before, I think? And I do one where they can, like, you just partner up with your buddy. You get your kind of bro handshake on, and you settle there for about 10, maybe 20, 30 seconds. But then you bring the back of your hands against each other.
Yeah.
And just have a little bit of a fight on it. And it just means that people stare all over the shop then. It's
I know. You know, whenever you have to explain your warm up on the whiteboard and say to everybody, "Now don't be a dick," you know, that's when things get fun.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I suppose one of the like that though exactly, and I know we looked at it before a little bit. It is how we potentially inspire people to actually really look at that stuff themselves and take ownership of it. It can be quite challenging, but. I know I like to kind of bring them to at the end of a class or something like that. I'll get a little bit of a stretch, but then I'll walk everybody over to some of the posters and a certain YouTube video or something like that, and I'll go, look, this is where the good stuff is at, guys. You need to maybe attack this. If you found that really challenging, then you're going to continue to find this challenging, and every single class is going to be a pain in the ass if this rocks up. So it just gives them a chance to go, okay, well, you don't have to expose them heavily, but definitely can be, I think there has to be a challenge, but also understanding.
You have to plant the idea in the head. So what I really love, so I would, at my seminars, I try and teach daily mobility and like habits and things like that, so that, you know, they're doing that stuff at home. And I really encourage people to want to wake up first thing in the morning and do it straight away. Like even if they train at 6 a.m. and say they have to set an alarm at 5:30, set it at 5:25, get up and just go through your joints one at a time, basically. Just to assess yourself, because that's for us as coaches, that's the great thing. If someone comes to you before the class even starts and goes, "Yeah, I was doing my neck rotations this morning," and one side feels a bit tight, awesome. Then you can change, you know, say you had push presses in the wad, then we'll change it up, just do push-ups instead, that'll be safer, you know, see how it goes. If it plays up too much, then hop on the rower, stretch it out if you can.
Yeah.
You know, so if we know, if a client knows that they're sore before the class starts, that's better than 15 minutes in and you go 3, 2, 1, go, you know, 3 reps in, ah, I hurt my neck, you know.
Completely.
You know, if we can get people to do things at home more often, then they're going to know more about their bodies. And the great thing about that as well is, the more things I would teach people to play with, then their proprioception starts to get a lot better as well. Mm-hmm. And you'll notice that they start to pick things up a lot faster. Yeah. So they'll start, you know, say they were struggling with the Olympic lifting classes, mm-hmm. Just from them doing their joint mobility every day, they start to get better body awareness. And then all of a sudden, the guy that was bending his arms all the time when he's snatching stops doing that. So it's really cool how everything is sort of relatable together. So.
Very much.
The best way I found it packaged, like, the way I came up with it, first of all, is I got a back injury, and I tried to rest it all the time, and it just wasn't getting better. And so I devised, so I worked with people with back pain for a long time before that, and I knew every stretch to do. So I knew, I gave myself a routine first thing in the morning, that I would get up and do these stretches, and I could get on with my day. But the annoying thing was, I reset it every morning. Mm-hmm. So the pain, like I had no flexion at all. I could not even bend my head down towards my toes without searing pain. Mm-hmm. So I had to go through like about 20 minutes worth of stretches before I could even barely put my socks on.
Yeah.
But what I found with that, like as time went on, obviously the back injury got a little bit worse, or worse out better. But my flexibility actually started to increase. And it was the first time I went, here, I'm actually getting results here.
Yeah.
And it was more down to that daily habit of getting up first thing in the morning and reprogramming my body to want to move at that time in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can hit that home to a lot of people, you know, injuries are going to go way down.
Yeah.
People are going to be easier to teach. It's just, it's all a good thing.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that one of the, that's exactly it. I think that's, that habitual type stuff is fantastic to really get people going with. And you, going back to like that, if you can get, if you can get people to kind of come in, and like we always do, try and do a little quick review of like, okay, well, what's going on here? What's at the start of the class or even before the class? It's like, okay, cool. What's, how are you feeling today? How many people are working in an office, were in the office all day today or did a long journey in the car? Okay, Sam, you're under suspicion. You're under suspicion. You're under suspicion. Even if they're not moving badly, you just look through the warm up and you go, ah. Okay, this is very evident that you've just sat in the car for the last 4 hours.
That's the thing. That's why I came up with the deep lunge test. I didn't come up with the deep lunge, but I've made it into a test. It was one of my first Tenation articles. Was the ability to go into a deep lunge and be able to get your elbow down to the floor.
Yeah.
That test basically tells you if someone has the capacity to squat and deadlift.
Yeah.
Because even if it may look like they do have their back straight in a deadlift, If they say their adductors are crazy tight, the lower back is going to take a hammering with that every rep. So, like, the subtle differences in people are so crazy. And as a coach, like, it's taken me years to start to pick up on this stuff.
Right.
Like, you can look at someone and go, his back's perfectly straight. And then afterwards, they're telling you, I've got back pain. It's like, doesn't make any sense. Why? You know, it looks like you're doing perfectly right.
Yeah.
But then, like I said, if you use a deep lunge test and go, oh, holy crap, his adductors are just crazy tight.
Yeah.
So, that's obviously going to take, you know, more and more.
Exactly. But even like that on the deep lunge, I think it's fantastic. I'll use that a lot. And like that, it can be very helpful because we got a couple of characters, that look fairly mobile. Like they're little yoga gurus and the whole lot. And then we put them into certain movements and you're like, whoa, hold. Yeah, you're no yoga guru. Hold on a second. it's even something like the heel maybe lifting or a little bit on the front foot of the lunge and stuff like that. And it's just subtle stuff like that that you can kind of go, hang on.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about this.
Which
makes a big difference. But like, I think as well as that, even that little preempting of things, I like to kind of relate it back sometimes to, I suppose your very high level sport, or you look at the rugby or your high level soccer and stuff like this, and how they would do maybe daily monitoring and daily testing, be it morning testing before any training sessions or like that. And we're essentially, I think we have no choice but to go in the same route, maybe in a very informal way, but it has to be in that kind of a way of really identifying, especially at the moment where we have, like I was speaking to Dara before about it, and we're not in kind of small CrossFit land anymore, like little CrossFit land. We're in big world of normal humanity.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of different people floating around with different issues.
Yeah.
So it needs to definitely be had a look at. But it's not easy either, because I think people can have that nervousness about, like, okay, well, I'm going to have to spend ages doing this exercise, this mobility work, or blah, blah, blah. But they also, they're kind of nervous sometimes about, like, but look, I'm actually doing a lot of hours in an office, or I'm a lot of hours in a car or in a particular position. And it can be quite challenging for them to just kind of go, okay, well, look, I have 5 to 8 minutes, maybe 10 minutes worth of a warm-up.
Yeah.
I can't magic all this back out. I just have
to... Yeah, that can't rewrite 7 hours worth of sitting. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's just...
So coming back again, the morning thing, that's the best thing in the morning. If you do your joint circles and stuff in the morning, you're more likely to move better for the rest of the day. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about resources later on as well.
Yeah.
Matt Shank is someone I follow. Have you heard of Matt Shank?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. He patented, so whenever I came up with the Tom Morrison 20-minute corrective exercises and your life will be better idea, it wasn't packaged very well, but Matt Shank came up with the 5-minute flow. And it's exactly the same principles as well, but it's packaged a lot nicer and it's neater. So it's 5 minutes, and it's really all it takes, 5 minutes first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
And that's, you will start to notice big, big, big changes. Because the big thing about people is they want to get their sweat on.
Mm-hmm.
So like I said, I didn't do anything until I was 24. Fitness did not interest me in the slightest.
Yeah.
And the majority of our clients are just, you know, they're wanting that hour a day, gym, check, done.
Yeah.
You know, their life isn't movement and fitness, you know, that's our lives.
Exactly.
So just that little bit of encouragement to just here, 5 minutes, and that's all it'll take, and it'll make everything a bit better. Just add that in. So just, you've got your hour at the gym and just have your 5 minutes at home as well. And that's, you know, it is attainable, you know, and if you can get people in that little bit of a habit, they actually do start to enjoy it.
I think that's a really interesting one, because like Max Shank would be very, very good. I think he's fantastic. I really like that idea of, I suppose I've always been a fan of the kind of movement snacks, I kind of call
them.
And like that, if it's, you've got 4 minutes, like I've given it there's a few guys before, we did it with, and every time they had a coffee, they had to do 10 push-ups, or they had to do a certain mobility exercise, and they had to wait in that while the kettle is boiling.
Triggers and responses,
All this magic.
You stick the heater on for the shower.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So little magic moments like that, but I think that's also very easily digestible by people. Because they can, like that, especially with the internet the way it is at the moment, everybody wants to throw up a particular workout on their Snapchat or on their Instagram, whatever it is, and they're just like, okay, cool, I'll do A1, B2, and this. And you're like, look, if you just put these three or four exercises together in a flow and just rotate, you will absolutely get your sweat on. You will definitely, and you can add that a lot more in. But like that, it's very easily digestible to set yourself up in the morning.
Exactly.
And just put yourself in a much better position. But I think that's where it can be a challenge for people to kind of recognize that, okay, it might actually take a few weeks before you start really noticing it, but then it will flood through your life.
That's the way I came up with the movement mobility seminar is I found a great way to almost trick people into wanting to do the mobility. So I use progressions for the pistol squat and handstands and muscle ups and things like that, but I teach them in, you know, a joint perspective so that, you know, what does the pistol squat require? It, you know, requires an immense amount of dorsiflexion, knee flexion, hip flexion as well.
Mm-hmm.
So working on single leg exercises that will help you achieve a pistol squat. You know, if you have an end goal in mind, a flexibility goal, it's something that Juju Mufu talks about. Juju Mufu?
Absolutely.
Yeah, he talks about having a flexibility goal. Visualizing what you want to be able to do, then that's going to make you want to spend a bit more time. And as soon as you start to see that little bit of result, like say you notice that your knee starts to travel a wee bit of like an inch further, you're like, oh, here, hang on, let's go, you know, and you will start to put more time into it.
And like, I suppose in relation to that as well, like that, the temptation, I know we looked at it before a little bit, the temptation for people to just go, okay, cool, look, we're going to go to the Supple Leopard, and we're going to go to Kelly Sarrell. And even though Kelly Sarrell, I think is a really interesting and good character, I suppose I have reservations about just sitting in a position for 4 minutes and just hoping for the best kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think he might be in a similar vein.
I think he's been grossly misinterpreted.
Yeah.
He had good intentions and teaching people, you know, how to do self-manifestor release and stuff like that. But you have to think at the end of the day, like, what does your body learn from self-manifestor release? It doesn't learn anything. And if anything, the worst thing that happened was CrossFitters all around the world sort of like, oh, I have a bit of a niggle in my shoulder. Oh, if I stick a ball in it, the pain goes away. It's like, well, yes, but the pain only went away because you magnified the amount of pain you were in. So any release after that is obviously, yes, going to make the pain, you know, disappear. But the problem arises there is that we are not physiotherapists. We don't know what we're really hitting, and we don't know what we're loosening, and we don't know, you know, what sort of repatterning we could be causing by doing that. So I've actually seen people create their own hypermobility in joints from basically smashing them to oblivion from using the techniques. So it's not Kelly Starrett's fault. It's just been misinterpreted, because if it feels like it helps, then that's what you're going to lash on to.
Yeah.
You know? Whereas the way, like, I would teach mobility, you know, it's a lot of work. It's training. You know, the amount of messages I get the next day after having a, you know, one-to-one with them, they message me and say, my ass is killing me. You know, they're absolutely wrecked. And it's purely because they're going through ranges of motion that they haven't trained before. And they're actually putting that focus into it. So, I would always go for, exercises that encourage a joint to work the way it's meant to joint. So something I always hashtag is to think joints and not muscles.
Yeah.
Because we don't know, you know, what way our muscles organize. So when you go and get an assessment for someone, say you get a kinesiology assessment and you're lying flat in the bed and they're pushing your legs down and stuff like that, you know, that's all well and good, but how does that relate to you moving during a deadlift?
You know?
Absolutely. So whenever I had my back injury and I was in immense amounts of pain, I could still deadlift.
Yeah.
I could still lunge. I could do all of those things because my body knew how to do them.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, but can I touch my toes? No, wouldn't happen. So your body reorganizes differently for everything, and it's purely down to time spent and effort that you've, you know, put into practicing something, your awareness and your proprioception. That's what it all comes down to. So that's how you should approach your mobility work. So my mobility work's changed, on my personal level has changed a lot. So where it started with just me, you know, stretching my wrists a wee bit every day and, you know, working on my squat a little bit, it started turning into me moving between Cossack squats and lunges and handstands and doing all these different things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm picking up things, gymnastic movements, so much better these days than I ever did.
I think that's really interesting that the exactly like that. I know a lot of people and where we work in Galway, we have a couple of really, really super physios and like very, very high level would work with very serious teams or would have gone to the last couple of Olympics and things like this. And they would all do CrossFit and they would do kind of elements of it. And like that, you'd see them doing a lot more interesting types of yoga and things like that, and much more, I suppose, just range of motion movements more than actually sitting in a stretch and just hanging out there and stuff. But also like that, it can be really interesting to notice the interest in learning from their perspective, especially in
when
it comes to that kind of stuff.
That's one of my biggest markets. Like, clients that I get are physios. They come to me to, you know, learn the ways that I teach people how to move and stuff like that. Like, they are so, you know, and vice versa. If I want to get something, if I need help with something, that's the first person I will go to. Exactly. You know. There is that really good mutual respect, you know, between coaches and physiotherapists, because we are, at the end of the day, both of our jobs are to help people.
Yeah, I agree. So I suppose with that, is there, I think that would be one of the biggest ways, and we kind of, we'll give you a little bit more, but not too much longer, we won't hold you to. That would probably be biggest areas, I think, then, that we could look at as improving as coaches at the moment, that just working through, I suppose, encouraging more quality of movements in maybe those smaller doses that are easily workable with people so that they can actually see some progress and trying to set, like, to be fair to Kelly Starrett, like, selling them on the performance rather than just the success of it is just selling them on the actual ability to achieve these positions. So like that, an overhead squat, when you get a lot of new people into it, they might just be like, okay, look, I don't know if I can get into this, but I think it, like that, it can be the enthusiasm, like, we'll kind of relate it towards, some of your videos, I would say, would be good fun, and just a bit of crack, and just kind of, like, a little bit tongue-in-cheek,
yeah.
Just going back to, like, the More Hips video, which I love, I have to say, I think it's brilliant. more hips, more hips.
The forward thrust.
Yeah, exactly. Some more stuff there. But even like the death press and things like that, I think that's where there has to be that, like, that will definitely increase the ability for people to make it memorable for these movement snacks and to kind of keep the enthusiasm and interest levels up there, just because it is a bit of fun and they can see that bit of crack about it.
That's my biggest thing. Like, you can't, if you're boring, you can't get people to do stuff. As a coach, you need to be able to create an atmosphere, you know, and in a lifting session, you need to make everybody think about everything else but how much weight's on the bar, you know. So for me personally, I make myself the loudest person in the room whenever there's a lifting session going on, and everybody's just screaming and going, yeah, and cheering, and, you know, so you're not actually thinking about the weights that are going on, because as soon as you start going, here, that's heavy, that's when you start missing lifts. And as soon as one person starts to miss lifts, the person beside them starts to miss the lifts as well. So, and it can carry on. It can really affect the entire class. So, the atmosphere that you can create. And yeah, it is our job to inspire people and make them want to do things, especially if they're good for them, you know. It's like, it can be hard sometimes. Like, everybody has bad days and gets pissed off. Everybody, you have to admit. And when you're standing there in a really shitty mood and you need to just, you know, chow down and get everybody jumping up and having fun and stuff, you know. It's one of the hardest things to do.
It can be quite challenging. If you're having any kind of a tough day, you have to just turn the face on and go, okay, look, this is positivity central, baby.
Yeah. Like, you know, at the end of the day, people don't care about the coach. You know, it's your job to make them have a bit of fun. That is our job description. Yeah. We need to, you know, get people inspired, have fun, want to get better, want to get stronger, you know, and want to get their sweat on as well. Exactly. So, job title.
Totally. So I suppose, like that, even like you were saying about your kind of the current resources you'd like and stuff like that, like Max Shank would be one. Have you any other kind of one or two other characters that you really like at the moment, or other kind of coaches that you'd have a
good it all depends what I'm looking for. I would vary from using different coaches to actually using case studies. So one of the things that I started to research into was people that have been in, like, horrible car accidents and stuff like that. So, like, if I see someone, you know, that has had their spine crushed in three places and wasn't able to walk, but a year later, you know, they're able to horse ride and ice skate and have fun with their life, you know, it's like, why can, you know, John, who tweaked his back a wee bit, you know, doing a snatch, why is he out of work? You know,
exactly. Why can he not
it doesn't make any sense. You know, there's no correlation. So it's a big thing with Tim Ferriss. He says to study the extremes.
Yeah.
So that's sort of the route I went to. You know, how people being so unbelievably broken, how can they get back to their real life? So if we can apply those methods to normal people before they ever get hurt, then, you know, there's your foolproof program, you know?
Yeah, very much. And like that, I suppose, like that just leads into the last kind of question. I suppose your next step in your own coaching development, like that, is that research about those extremes, and that would be your next coaching step, I suppose.
That's a good thing. There's a wealth of information online, so you can find tons of things online. They're on really boring scientific websites. The easiest person I would say to go and follow first would be Dr. Stuart McGill. He posts quite a few studies and stuff like that there, but in the links and the resources that he gets them from, you can find a lot of stuff, you know, from there. You know, it's like being on Wikipedia for a few hours. Just keep clicking the blue words, you know, you'll find something interesting eventually.
There's rabbit holes to go down, no doubt.
Yeah. Sorry. For me, coaching development-wise, I'm making use of local people. Because, like, the amount of seminars and courses and stuff that I've been on and paid an absolute fortune for, I have got that same information before even going to the course, just from, like, the likes of a local gymnastics school.
Absolutely.
for, you know, £7, like less than €10 a class, basically. You know, and I learned all the fundamentals of everything, and that's the big thing as well. So again, back to the daily mobility thing, we can't force people. You know, if our CrossFit class has changed to here, we need to do half an hour of joint mobility before we do anything, you know, you're going to lose clients very fast.
Absolutely.
But if we can meet in the middle and try and get people to do their 5 minutes every day, you know, it will equal up to that half hour. So they are going to build their foundation, but not realize it.
Yeah.
At the same time, so,
I think that's
making use of local coaches. That's the biggest thing. There's so many people close to you that know their stuff, and you know, it doesn't cost you half as much.
Absolutely, absolutely. I totally agree. I've just looked at a couple of different seminars, like kind of evening seminars and stuff that actually just popped up on my Facebook newsfeed.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at the names attached, and I was like, whoa, this person is where? Okay. I'll have to have a look at that. I just spotted one there with Yuri Marmansine from Europe, and he's doing a little seminar. We've got lots of different things like that. So I agree. There's a lot of interesting stuff going on locally. So that's cool. Tom, we're gonna leave it at that, if that's okay, dude. And
absolutely.
Really, really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, dude. So again, guys, Tom Morrison's website is tommorrison.co.uk. You can find him on Facebook. It's Movement in Motion is the handle on Facebook. And if you want to check out any of his movement and mobility seminars, or if you're up in Lisburn up north, call into CrossFit Varangian, and he'll take good care of you guys. Thanks very much, Tom. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Take care, man.
Thanks.